In the last 3 months alone, private investors poured $7.5 billion into space startups. That's over $80 million a day. The question for executives on the ground is no longer if this new economy affects them, but how quickly they need to adapt before being left behind. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
Troy, that $7.5 billion figure from the Space Economy Institute is staggering. We're seeing a fire hose of capital directed at what used to be a niche government sector. This week, the developments feel less about exploration and more about industrialization. We're talking about on-orbit AI, critical supply chains, and a logistics race that's heating up in the Pacific.
That's exactly right, Susie. The narrative has shifted from rockets to infrastructure. The new competitive arenas are semiconductors, advanced materials, and supply chain control. For Western companies, this creates immediate threats, but also very specific high-margin opportunities. We'll start with the battleground that matters most right now, the computer chip.
Okay, Troy. On July 19th, Intel unveiled a new processor called Starfire. On the surface, it's another chip. Why is this one so important for our audience?
Starfire is a radiation-hardened system on chip, or SoC. It combines CPUs and neural processing units on their 18A process with GPU tiles on the Intel 3 node. Critically, it's designed to operate in extreme temperatures, from minus 55 to plus 125 degrees Celsius, with integrated radiation protection.
So, a super tough, high-performance computer for space. Why is this a global headline this week?
Because it delivers PC-level computing and AI capabilities directly on orbit. This isn't just an incremental improvement, it's a paradigm shift. For decades, satellites have been dumb terminals, collecting data and beaming it back to Earth for processing. Starfire allows that processing, from complex image analysis to autonomous decision-making, to happen in real time, in space. This accelerates the space AI computing race, with competitors like AMD and BAE Systems also fielding advanced rad-hard chips. The next space race is about on-orbit data processing.
What does this mean for a robotics manufacturer in Germany or a logistics company in the U.S.?
For U.S. and European manufacturers, this is a critical signal. It means satellites are becoming autonomous industrial assets. High-precision manufacturing, like 3D printing of sensitive components in zero gravity, requires immense onboard processing. Starfire enables that. European manufacturers in automotive and aerospace should see this as a testbed for the next generation of truly autonomous factory robotics that must operate in harsh environments.
And for trading companies, is there a market for distributing these superchips?
It's a highly specialized market. Western trading companies need to recognize that these aren't standard components. They fall under strict export controls, like ITAR in the U.S. The opportunity lies in the supply chain for the materials and subcomponents that go into these systems, the specialized silicon, the thermal interface materials, the connectors. Sourcing and qualifying these is a major new business line.
So, what's the actionable insight for an executive listening now?
Executives should immediately task their strategic teams to map the secondary and tertiary supply chains for radiation-hardened electronics. Identify where your firm can become a qualified supplier for these new space-grade systems. This isn't about building the chip, it's about becoming an indispensable part of the ecosystem that supports it.
Let's stay on the topic of supply chains. On July 17th, the U.S. Department of Defense made a very specific investment of $7.1 million into a company called Martin Material Solutions. What are they buying?
They're buying domestic manufacturing capability for space solar cell cover glass. This isn't ordinary glass. It's a highly engineered material that protects a satellite's solar panels from radiation and micrometeoroid impacts. It is absolutely essential for the operational lifespan of any satellite.
Why does this matter globally right now? A $7 million investment seems small in the grand scheme of a multi-billion dollar industry.
The dollar amount is less important than the signal it sends. The DoD has designated this material as a Title III priority under the Defense Production Act. This is a national security declaration. It means the U.S. has identified a critical vulnerability in its space industrial base, an over-reliance on foreign sources for a component that every single satellite, commercial or military, depends on.
Okay, so this is about de-risking the supply chain. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
For U.S. manufacturers, this is a direct opportunity. The DoD is funding the expansion of a domestic supplier, creating a secure customer. For European manufacturers, this is both a warning and a model. they face the same supply chain risks. Companies in Germany, France, or the UK that produce specialized materials, ceramics, coatings, advanced polymers, should be asking if their products have a similar dual-use application in space and if they represent a sovereign capability gap.
What about distributors? How does a move like this change their calculus?
Western trading companies and distributors who handle specialty materials need to be acutely aware of this shift toward supply chain nationalization. The era of sourcing purely on cost is ending for critical space components. The new priorities are security, traceability, and geographic origin. Distributors who can guarantee a secure, domestic, or allied supply chain will command a premium and win contracts.
What's the immediate action item for an executive hearing this?
If your company manufactures any high-performance material, from specialty glass to carbon composites, conduct an immediate audit to assess its potential for space applications. Then actively engage with your National Space Agency and defense procurement offices. The U.S. just put $7.1 million on the table. The U.K. and EU will be making similar moves to secure their own industrial base. Position your company to be the solution they are looking for.
Shifting from components to launch systems, China just announced a major breakthrough. On July 22nd, they recovered a reusable rocket booster at sea. We've seen this before from SpaceX, so what makes this different?
The difference is the method. The Long March 10B rocket booster was recovered using a net capture system. Instead of performing a complex vertical landing on a drone ship, the booster descends and is caught mid-air by a large specialized net. This was a world first.
A net? That sounds almost low-tech. Why is it strategically significant this week?
Because it represents a fundamentally different and potentially simpler logistical pathway to reusability. A net capture system could require less complex rocketry, fewer sensitive landing legs, potentially less precise final maneuver propellant, and place more of the engineering challenge on the recovery vessel. It signals that China is not just copying Western methods, it's innovating on the core logistics of space access, which is the real driver of cost reduction.
How does this directly threaten US and European launch providers and manufacturers?
The competitive threat is clear. If this net system proves to be more robust, faster to reset, or cheaper to operate than vertical landing, it could give China a significant cost and cadence advantage in the commercial launch market. For U.S. and European manufacturers who rely on launch services, this could mean a cheaper, non-Western option becomes highly attractive. It also puts pressure on Western launch companies like Arianespace and ULA to accelerate their own reusability programs.
And for trading and distribution companies, what's the angle here?
The immediate impact is on the satellite launch market. Companies that broker launch capacity or manage satellite deployment logistics now have a new variable. They need to understand the risk profile, insurance implications, and operational reliability of this new Chinese recovery method. Market timing is key. They must advise clients on whether to stick with proven Western providers or explore potentially cheaper but less mature Chinese options.
What should a Western executive be considering right now in response to this?
The actionable insight is to stress test your reliance on the current launch market duopoly. Executives in satellite manufacturing and operations must begin scenario planning for a future where Chinese launch providers are significantly cheaper and more frequent. This means cultivating relationships with emerging Western launch startups and advocating for policies that ensure competitive and reliable access to space from U.S. and European soil.
So to summarize this week's briefing, it's a multi-front competition heating up fast. What are the key takeaways for our listeners?
First, the next frontier in space competition is not rockets, but on-orbit computing. The launch of Intel's Starfire chip underscores that the race is on to build intelligent, autonomous assets in space. This creates a massive new market for high-performance, radiation-hardened electronics and the specialized materials they require.
Second, the supply chain is now a strategic battleground.
Exactly. The DoD's investment in solar cell cover glass is a clear signal that Western governments are moving to onshore critical space-related manufacturing. Companies that produce advanced materials need to recognize this shift from cost-centric to security-centric sourcing and position themselves as national champions.
And finally, innovation in logistics can be as disruptive as innovation in technology.
Correct. China's successful sea-based net recovery of a rocket booster is a reminder that there are multiple paths to low-cost space access. Western firms must not become complacent.
they need to constantly evaluate and innovate, not just in their core product, but in the entire operational and logistical chain that supports it.
That's all the time we have for this week's Troy Technical Intelligence. The industrialization of space is accelerating, and we'll be here to track the developments that matter to your business on the ground.
Thank you for joining us.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss a briefing. We'll be back next week with more analysis of the technology shaping your competitive landscape.